Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon or good morning, everyone, and welcome to Blogger News on the Radio. My name is Simon Barrett, and I will be your host today. This is another in our ongoing series, Surviving the 21st Century, a look at health and nutrition in our modern world. Joining me, as always, are my good friends, the writing and research team of Manny Barling and his wife, Ashley F. Brooks. Hello to both of you.
Well, good morning, Simon, and good afternoon to everybody on the East Coast.
Good afternoon to everybody. Good morning, Simon.
You blew it, Ashley. It's actually afternoon here in Central Time.
Just having fun.
Manny, late yesterday I received a phone call from a friend of mine, and seeing as you're a legal eagle, I just have to share it with you. For very obvious reasons, I can't name names. But my friend is a trial lawyer, and he has a trial starting up next week. One of the key witnesses is the branch manager of a very, very well-known bank. He issued a subpoena. The initial response from the corporate office is, "We are a very, very large bank. We don't recognize subpoenas."
That is funny.
The response from my friend was, "Well, you may not, but the judge certainly does."
You know, I had that happen to me once early in my career. And by the way, I don't consider myself a legal eagle. I consider myself a legal beagle, complete with the saggy ears and the droopy face. So eagles are a little, you know, more alert. I'm not that alert on a Saturday morning in Los Angeles. But I had that happen to me. Bank of America, of all people, did that to me in the 70s. I was a young lawyer. I didn't know what to do, so... you know, it happened at the last minute, so I couldn't find an older lawyer the day before trial to ask. So I showed up at court, and the judge says to me, "Who's going to be your first witness?" I said, "Well, Your Honor, I wanted to call the manager of Bank America, but the Bank America sent me this letter. I just got it. It says that they're a very large bank, and they don't have time for subpoenas, and they don't have time for me. And I'm not sure what I should do." And the judge looked at me and said, "Counsel," it was an older judge, pushing 70, and says, "Counsel, you don't have to do anything." And he instructed his marshal to drive to Bank of America, which is only about 2 miles from the courthouse, and pick up the manager of the branch and returned him. And so when he returned him to the inside jail to wait for the judge to call him as a witness. So we went on with the case, and by 1:30, 2 o'clock, the judge was back from lunch and ready for him, and he brought him up, and he reamed him for 5 minutes and then put him on the stand, and this poor guy was shaking. He couldn't answer my first couple of questions, what's your name? He went, my name, he couldn't get it out. So I learned very quickly that, let the judge do the dirty work. Just tell him they're insulting him, because the judges take that personally.
Right. Like I said, I got off the phone last night, and I just went, I have to share this one with me.
Oh, that's funny. So, you know, Simon, you know, looking at the shows, we have Heather Matthews coming on next week, who was too ill to join us last week, and Heather's going to discuss dieting and exercise, part of a continuation of today's show about sugar, and talk to people about the everyday tricks and of trying to lose weight and dealing with the dietary problems. And she's a personal trainer, and that's all she does. But before we jump into sugar, I want to relay a story. It's about a gentleman, Army Specialist Daniel Foster. Last night I watched the opening day ceremonies for the Los Angeles Angels baseball team, And for baseball fans around the country, it's spring and it's time for baseball. But before the game, the Angels honored 22-year-old Army Specialist Daniel Foster. He was given the Silver Star for extraordinary courage in combat in Afghanistan prior to the Angels game. He was also awarded the Purple Heart for his injuries. It seems that Foster's Army buddy, Tom Bolden, who lost a leg in Afghanistan, was released from Walter Reed Army Medical Center in Washington to personally present him with a Silver Star. Foster elected to receive it before the Angel game because he was a big baseball fan. Well, Specialist Foster was serving guard duty in Afghanistan when a truck approached the gates of the compound. He looked at him, and they looked back at him, and they punched it. They accelerated. He realized if the truck made it past him, it would have attacked the barracks filled with sleeping American soldiers, as well as a second barracks containing friendly Afghan troops. The death total would have exceeded 100 soldiers. So Foster fired 30 to 40 rounds into the windshield of the truck, stopping the truck. He didn't know it at the time, but the truck was loaded with 500 pounds of explosives and 41 heavy-duty mortar shells. It was a suicide bombing mission. But immediately after he hit the truck, there was an explosion that knocked Foster down. His head was ringing. His lip was split halfway to his nose. The blast knocked out 6 upper teeth and most of the bone. It also shattered his lower 7 teeth and lower jawbone that held him in place. Foster saw 2 friendly Afghan soldiers below. One of them was hurt and his buddy was trying to help. Then 2 guys dressed in American uniforms walked up and shot the 2 Afghan soldiers dead. It turns out they were also suicide bombers with mortars strapped to their chest. They didn't get a chance to set the bombs off because Foster stopped them in their tracks. But he ran out of ammo. His roommate also ran out of ammo. So Foster took a rifle from a fallen Afghani soldier and stopped another intruder from penetrating the compound with another suicide bomb. Throughout all this, Foster didn't know he was badly hurt. There was blood everywhere. A medic forced him to get medical attention against his wishes, putting a straw in his mouth to help him breathe. But his buddies called for ammo, and he left his medical attention to help them. When the adrenaline wore off, he passed out from the pain. The firefight kept on, and he later learned that he had killed 3 more attackers. Foster was sent to Germany for treatment, but arrived with no ID, no clothes, and no money. The American Red Cross and Wounded Warriors took care of him. He lost 3 comrades in that after leaving Afghanistan. As a result, Foster added a tattoo of a cat to his leg. It reads, 9 lives, 8 to go. 2 surgeries later, and eating still remained a painful chore for him. Foster said last night he's looking at 4 or 5 surgeries to get his teeth back, and even then, eating will never be comfortable for him again. As for the Silver Star, he said, it's humbling. No one tries to get an award. I definitely didn't try to get a Purple Heart. His main message to Angel fans last night was, quote, just remember, there are still people fighting over there and doing exactly what I was doing. Specialist Foster and his comrades were willing to give up their lives for our freedom. Thomas Jefferson once said, the tree of liberty must be refreshed from time to time with the blood of patriots and tyrants. Without these brave young men, there would be no freedom. We'd like to ask our listeners to do something for these soldiers recovering from crippling wounds in our military hospitals. We encourage you, all of you, to mail a card to a veteran at a recovering soldier, care of Walter Reed Army Medical Center, 6900, that's 6900, Georgia Avenue, Northwest, Washington, D.C., 20307. It's a wonderful cause. These people need to hear from us. They need to know we care about them. We don't want another generation of soldiers who feel like the veterans from Vietnam that nobody cared. And I know this is near and dear to Ashley, who started me on this, and to you too, Simon. Do you have any feelings about the need to send cards and to do things for our veterans?
Oh, absolutely. I do encourage everyone to help as much as you can. It doesn't have to cost a lot. A stamp is cheap. You know, send a letter, send a card.
And Ashley, I know this is one of your favorite topics and something you work very hard on with anyone. Is there anything you want to add to all of this?
Just that we love these guys for taking the time and to go over to the war to do help to protect us and to do what they're doing. And I do hope people do take a moment to write to them. Having lived in a house with my dad, who was a World War II soldier and a captain, and he fought in the war. They are soldiers for life once they become soldiers. And these boys mentally and physically need our support and will continue to need our support. And sending a card is essential. Also, I was thinking maybe we would start an internet site that allows people to send in stories. If you have stories that you would like us to read on the air, respectfully, for soldiers so that we can continue the cards coming and flowing and sending our love to the soldiers that are at Walter Reed right now.
Yeah, you can send them to Simon and we'll get them on the show. And, you know, in my case, my oldest brother served in the South Pacific in World War II on Iwo Jima and Guam, and to this day still carries those scars. And for those listeners in Los Angeles area, our friend and former guest Patrick Kilpatrick is hosting a celebrity event to help wounded veterans. The event is the Hollywood Celebrity Sporting Clays Invitational at Oak Tree Gun Club on June 11th in Newhall, California. Newhall is a suburb just north of Los Angeles. The theme is Children of Heroes, Wounded Warriors, and Wildlife Conservation. This all money will go to the organization that helped Specialist Foster. It is a wonderful organization. The event supports charities like the World Wildlife Fund, Paralyzed Veterans of America, Children's Heroes Wish Program, and lots of other things. And after all this serious conversation, you know, Simon, perhaps you can put some sugar on this and make it a little bit better.
Okay, I vote we move on to the real subject of today's program. And I've got to admit, it's pretty rare that we use a musical introduction to a segment, but I think this 1969 pop song seems to sum up today's subject quite well.
Sugar.
I don't want to play the whole thing. I mean, I love the Archies, but...
Oh, you can't love them that much.
I love the Archies. I just don't... I'm sorry.
I don't love them enough for all 3 minutes.
Yeah, yeah. That song sort of came and went not quick enough, actually.
I like Cane Sugar Sugar. But I don't like high fructose corn syrup.
Okay.
I think that's our topic today, right?
Right. Okay, Manny, do you want to kick this off?
Go ahead, Simon. Before I kick it off, though, I wanted you to tell the audience what motivated you, because this is a topic of great interest to you. And tell everybody what motivated you to bring up this show.
So many different
concepts.
Well,
talk about the commercial, because you posted it also on your website.
Right. Okay. As with every industry, there are lobbying groups. And in the case of the sugar industry, and I use the term sugar very loosely, there's a type of sugar that's actually derived from corn. Now, nothing wrong with corn. I mean, I love a good sweet corn, but it's not that kind of corn, folks. This is genetically modified junk that is not fit for human consumption. In fact, but there's a great movie, great documentary called King Corn, and I do recommend everyone watches it. This sugar, this corn has no purpose other than animal feed, ethanol, or you can take it into the laboratory and do a Frankenstein move and turn it into something called high fructose corn syrup. The particular lobbying group is something called the CRA, the Corn Refiners Association. Another wonderful organization based in Washington, D.C. In fact, I was kind of upset that the government didn't shut down last night, because I was hoping to be able to say on the show, now what are the CRA going to spend their money on? there aren't any politicians to wine and dine. Okay, I'll get off my soapbox right now. So that's one of the reasons that I wanted to pick this topic for today.
Well, good. Let me explain, first of all, what high fructose corn syrup is. Then I'm going to give it over to Ashley for a little information. There's two types of sugar, natural sugar and sugar that's refined in the lab. Even among natural sugar, there's organic sugar and there's refined sugar. The refined sugar that we see in the stores that looks as white as paint is actually refined to make it white, and they add aluminum sulfur, whatever it is, to it, which is an aluminum-based compound, so it won't cake. And those older people in my generation remember they used to put saltine crackers in the sugar jar in a restaurant to make sure it didn't clump. Well, they got rid of the salting crackers, and now they use a chemical. Organic sugar comes with 80 different nutrients and is far healthier. Your body digests it normally, and you don't have a problem. But you have to put sugar on the label. So when you buy products, most people look at it to see what the sugar content is. So to hide the sugar, they began to put high fructose corn syrup. So what is high fructose corn syrup? It's a processed, genetically modified corn. They use caustic soda, hydrochloric acid, synthetic alpha amylase, which is an enzyme. They don't even use the natural amylase that comes out of plants. They use a synthetic glucoamylase instead of the natural one for a plant. They use synthetic isomerase, which is another enzyme which doesn't come from a plant. Then they use powdered carbon. I mean, carbon fiber is used for cars to strengthen other things, and carbon steel, but powdered carbon in a synthetic vat to make sugar? How about calcium chloride and magnesium sulfate? It's sort of a witch's brew worthy of a meth lab. You know, Ash, did I miss anything at all in my description of high fructose corn syrup?
Well, one thing that the Corn Refinery Association keeps saying is that they're no longer using things that have mercury, which is when you're describing the breakdown of the high fructose corn syrup. The caustic soda and the hydrochloric acid are made through the same process that produce chlorine. It can be done in two ways. The first involves pumping it through salt water, which sounds great, but that's through a vat of mercury. This is known as mercury grade, which is part of the high fructose corn syrup. The refinery is saying we're no longer doing that, except chlorine industry remains the largest consumer of mercury, and they're a very large company right now. I mean, they're huge. Chlorine production is huge. And the problem with this is the fact that chlorine is an element within the body, and it's a very essential element because chlorine allows your body to it works with your electrolytes, and it regulates the pH in the body. So you now have taken an element that is high fructose corn syrup using chlorine that either has mercury or doesn't have mercury in it. It's going to have chlorine in it, which is going to affect elements in your body and your electrolytes, which therefore throw off all of the balance of the body. That's the kicker, start-off point for high fructose corn syrup.
Well, let me put this in perspective, Simon, before I ask you a question. So our listeners understand the magnitude of this issue. More than 2 million tons, over 4 billion pounds of high fructose corn syrup were produced in the U.S. in 2009. That's almost double the amount that was produced in 1990. In 2009, the combined production of sugar substitutes and high fructose corn syrup totaled 18.7 billion short tons, which is 37 billion pounds. Most of this high fructose corn syrup ended up in soft drinks of all kinds. The balance was used in processed foods such as soups, sauces, and gravies. The good news is by 2010, the concerns of the public started to cause the consumption of high fructose corn syrup or corn syrup to drop to a 20-year low. Out of concern for its tarnished image, the corn syrup industry, particularly the Corn Refiners Association, applied to the FDA to change its name on food labels to corn sugar. It's a dangerous rose by any other name, and it's still dangerous. And that gets us to where you are, Simon. Suddenly, they put out these ads saying sugar is sugar. And it seemed to me, as you discussed earlier, it bothered you. And now you've had a few months to research this on your own besides our book. Sometimes I think our comments are a little tame. So do you feel what you've read in your own is more severe in regards to the dangers of high fructose corn syrup than even what we wrote?
Oh, yes. I mean, I'm a pretty acerbic kind of a person. I looked at that. Or in fact, there's more than one of them. I believe there's three adverts that are currently running in my particular TV market, all based around the sugar is sugar. And what is really irritating about these adverts is that they don't have any professional saying this, any, you know, trained chemist or trained biologist, no PhD. You know, it's just a family, and they say, you know, we were very concerned about, you know, what was going into our bodies and our children's bodies, but we've talked to professionals, and they tell us sugar is sugar. It doesn't matter if it's cane sugar. It doesn't matter if it's corn sugar. Sugar is sugar. I mean, this is so much hooey. I mean, it doesn't take 5 seconds of research on Google to reveal that there's a great deal of scientific evidence that it's saying, no, sugar is not sugar. You know, there's a big difference. How can these people even get away with it from a legal standpoint?
Well, you know, let's talk about that for a moment. First of all, this is not the first time the industry has tried to reinvent one of its products with a name change. In 1988, genetically modified rapeseed oil became more popular after it was renamed canola oil. I'm not sure anybody even knows what rapeseed is, the plant, or rapeseed oil, because now they've been trained to think it's canola oil. And canola oil merely stands for Canada oil. It has no other, you know, purpose whatsoever.
It's genetically engineered. It's created in a lab.
Well, let's talk about legally doing it. There's nothing that bothers me more than these political groups. One of them's the Center for Consumer Freedom. And I'll warn our viewers.
Get me started on them.
Well, I have to, because I pointed them out to you when you sent me the Sugar is Sugar article. And Simon, who's an intrepid investigator himself, pulled their 501c3 tax return, which is a tax return charitable groups must file with the federal government. This is run by a guy named Rick Berman, who we talk about in our group, who's just everybody is against. The Center for Consumer Freedom is a front group for the restaurant, alcohol, tobacco, and other food industries. It runs media campaigns which oppose the efforts of scientists, doctors, health advocates, animal advocates, environmentalists, and groups like the Mothers Against Drunk Driving, calling them the nanny culture, okay? The growing fraternity of food cops, health care enforcers, anti-meat activists, and meddling bureaucrats who know what's best for you. When you think of Monsanto and all these people in the Corn Refiners Association, what are they trying to tell? They're trying to tell us that their chemicals are better for us. So his message is no different than someone calling for organic foods, except he's the purveyor of all these dangerous chemicals. Ashley, you've looked at a lot of these different groups. When you saw that earlier and you've seen these slides, don't they really offend you?
Oh, it's absolutely offensive, especially with the genetically engineered products. I get so upset with these people who are, their entire thing is just about themselves and the lobby groups. Let me take this back for a second, Manny. One of the things I wanted to definitely talk about for 2 seconds before we get into lobby is that the high fructose corn syrup actually rose out of nowhere in the late 1970s. And it was a public-private partnership between grain processing giant Archer Daniel Midland and the federal government. And Archer Daniel Midland is one of the biggest lobbyists right now, and they are huge. So here they are working together with Monsanto. Monsanto now has a brand new GMO that, hello, we forgot to tell everybody, we've added more genes to the already toxic plant that's never been humanly tested. Now part of your corn, now part of your high fructose corn syrup. And now these lobbyists are all working together with Dow, along with Monsanto and Archer Daniel Midland.
Well, Ashley, let me give you some of the ones that Consumer Freedom runs. They, of course, run consumerfreedom.com. I guess that's the freedom to smoke cigarettes and die from tobacco, because big tobacco is one of their basic supporters. They run this activistcashcom.com. They run this group CPSScam.com, which attacks the Center for Science and Public Interest. They run AnimalScam.com, who attack all the animal rights people. FishScam.com, which attacks the theories that there's mercury in fish and you can eat as much canned tuna as you want, which you should probably tell Jeremy Piven, the star of Entourage, because he nearly died from mercury poisoning.
Well, they have to say that right now, because they're saying there's mercury in the high fructose corn syrup, so, hey, it must
right.
be okay.
They run my favorite one is obesitymyths.com. I guess they don't want the country to know that our nation's youth is getting fat. And one of your favorites, Simon, sweetscam.com, which is one that says sugar is sugar. And how about physicianscam.com, which attacks any doctor or scientist who basically, says anything negative about the industry. And for those people who are into animals, PETAKillsAnimals.com. So Michael Berman likes to accuse PETA of actually being murderers. So to understand Rick Berman, to understand Rick Berman, he was paid approximately, I think it was $1.3 million.
Oh, well, no,
salary.
No,
I'm sorry.
No,
I'm wrong.
Hold on. When you first look at the document, I mean, he took a paltry $18,000. I mean, yeah, and you think, oh, well, he can't be all bad. It's only when you dig that you get the other, million three.
Well, you know, it's a million six. I was wrong. What I find interesting is their revenues were $3.6 million. That's a lot of money contributed by the corn industry to put out these ads.
The corn industry?
Yeah. We're basically supported by corn, tobacco, and the rest of it. But their income primarily from the corn industry is about $3 million a year to put out all these phony websites and attack everybody. And what I found even more interesting is his accountants, certified public accountants, did not sign the return. We know the return, which is very complex, had to be prepared by an accountant, but he signed it personally. In my experience as a lawyer in 35 years, when an accountant won't sign a tax return, it's because it's shaky and he doesn't want to put his name on it. So this guy signed it himself. So that raises some serious questions, too. So how bad are they? They spent over $800,000 advertising the Latino community, saying sugar is sugar to drink more high-fructose corn syrup. From 2001 to 2004, they received more than $9 million in gifts and donations from the industry. These are the people running the sugar is sugar ads and these food ads, Simon. So, and they also spent $3.8 million in lobbying. Isn't that interesting?
Oh, I was horrified. I mean, I am not an accounting professional, but I slogged my way through, what is it, 40 pages of filing, whatever it is. And, you know, every page you go, oh, that don't sound right.
Well, let's balance this conversation about how much money they spend and everything with some facts. Despite the industry's ridiculous claims, sugar and high fructose corn syrup are not nutritionally the same. All independent scientists and researchers have linked the consumption of soda sweetened with corn syrup or high fructose corn syrup to obesity, increased diabetes, and inflammation. It's so bad, if sugar is so great, if high fructose corn syrup is so great, maybe the industry can explain why leading people like Sara Lee, Gatorade, Snapple, and even Hunt's Ketchup have already replaced corn syrup with regular sugar in many of their products. And actually, I know I've hit the tip of the bucket on some of the problems with the high fructose corn syrup, so can you add to the list?
One of the problems that they keep saying is that it does not cause obesity. But, of course, with rat studies, they found that there was a significant increase in the body weight by when they were fed high fructose corn syrup. And one of the biggest problems is the metabolic syndrome. And the metabolic syndrome means that which is about 50 million Americans, they claim have this condition. And it's because of the effect it has on the insulin, and it has got this negative effect on insulin. So subsequently,
can you explain a little bit more? You know, one of the things, because I saw a TV show the day about how they're on the news, how they're now going to either transplant the islets of Langerfeld's, which is that small portion in the center of your pancreas secretes insulin, or they're injecting cells from other people to try and change it. It's another form of transplant, and perhaps, Ashley, you can talk about how the genetically modified corn gets in there, and basically with all the pollutants, the BT toxins, and all the rest of that, it affects it.
What it's doing is it's damaging. They're finding with some of the tests, the GMO themselves, when they look at the corn studies, they are just GMO. We're not going to even get into the high fructose corn syrup. But just the GMO alone causes the gut bacteria to transfer. It triggers things within the pancreas, and it destroys liver cells. And so it's causing all these metabolic problems. In fact, when they did the International Journal of Biologists and Sciences in France did they found three GMOs side effects with the corn itself. So,
I agree. And one of the things I found interesting when Ashley went over this with me, one of Ashley's concerns.
Manny, the most associated problems that they found were in the kidney, the liver, dietary detoxifying of the organs. They found problems within the heart, the adrenal glands, the spleen, the blood system, the liver, and they all found it connected to the new pesticides specific to each GM corn.
So, to get more specific with this, because as Ashley's pointed this out in the past, when you go in the hospital, so you have a transplant surgery because you're having problems with your sugar and all these other things, and you're a diabetic, so what do? They give you an IV. Well, it turned out that Dr. Dantini and Ashley researchers also talked about how basically using high fructose corn syrup is an IV. So your IV is no longer sugar water, it's corn syrup. And, you know, Ashley, it seems to me that you're just putting the fire back on. As long as you have IVs of high fructose corn syrup and they're feeding you hospital food with high fructose corn syrup, what good does a transplant do?
Absolutely. Your body can't break it down. Because it's not sugar isn't sugar because your body can't break down the chemical. The regular cane sugar, your insulin will break it down and allow you to use that sugar for energy. But when you put a chemical in the body and you compound that with a GMO, pesticides and everything that's within that genetically engineered product, your body can't break it down. So you've got insulin resistance. So it turns into adipose fat within the body. It can't break it down, so it affects the liver and the kidneys and the pancreas because you're going to keep pumping the insulin out trying to break it down. Nothing's going to happen. So eventually your Langerhans, which is where it produces the insulin within the pancreas, that's going to get disrupted and harmed.
Yeah. I laugh. I think I call it Langerfeld's, which is my favorite cologne. So I guess people think we're drinking cologne today. But I'm going to try and put this in simple terms. I got a question for you, Simon. I mean, what we're talking about is the amount of high fructose corn syrup in such soft drinks as Pepsi and Coca-Cola, as well as every other food as we walk down the aisles of the market. And we'll talk about those foods in a while. But as a general rule, a level teaspoon of sugar is equivalent to about 4 or 5 grams. Pepsi and Coke contain 40 grams of sugar. That's what they say on the label. That's equivalent to 8 to 10 level teaspoons of sugar. According to researchers, 40 grams of sugar is matched by an equal amount of high fructose corn syrup. As a result, you're consuming about 80 grams of sugar in a soft drink, which is equivalent to 16 level teaspoons with each soft drink. The net result is approximately 4 ounces of sweetener in a 12-ounce can. So when you look at kids who are drinking these, 30-ounce big gulps, you're talking about them getting 200 grams of sugar in one big gulp, of which about 100 grams of it is from high fructose corn syrup. So in 2009, the per capita use of high fructose corn syrup reached 63.6 pounds per person in America. The problem is a significant number of Americans drink the diet sodas, which don't have high fructose corn syrup, and there are countless people like ourselves who don't drink them at all. And a lot of people would rather drink a beer or a Gatorade or a million other things. So when you look at it, the reality is the average person who drinks a regular soft drink, by some studies, consumes about 120 pounds a year of high fructose corn syrup because so many of us don't. So, Simon, I mean, you've seen a lot of kids drink these big gulps. You've been in restaurants and fast food stores where you see people drinking these huge drinks and then getting refills for the road. I mean, and you look at these people and they're overweight. Has that been your experience too?
Oh, absolutely. I am not a physician. I'm not trained in any of the scientific principles, but I'm 55 years old. And I look at the youngsters of today and compare them to the youngsters of, say, 30 years ago. There's a huge difference. Huge difference in weight.
Yeah, I'll tell you, a nice anecdotal story comes from Ashley, who visited with a friend who went to, I think it was Starbucks, when her friend got back from Europe with her husband, And actually, tell the story about your friend who started talking about the children in Europe.
Oh, she was just so impressed. She couldn't get over how the children, they were small and thin and beautiful, and they looked healthy. The main thing was the healthy-looking children. And then she came back to America, and she found these obese children. They were walking around and sitting at Starbucks. There was not one single thin person there.
Yeah.
And this isn't just about being thin. Because some people will say, oh, well, you're anti-heavy. No. What I'm anti is unhealthy. And the look on people is versus Europe is an unhealthy look. And one of the things that the Mayo Clinic did a study with the high fructose corn syrup, and they were saying that the number one cause of death in the world right now in the United States, is cardiovascular disease. And they found in 2010, when they did studies, the metabolic process involved in the breakdown of high fructose corn syrup can lead to a buildup of uric acid. A buildup of the uric acid is one of the symptoms of this metabolic syndrome I was speaking of, which is a risk factor in cardiovascular disease. So it elevates the blood triglycerides, which is the fat, making people obese and unhealthy.
You know, and to add to that, synthetic fructose also interferes with your brain's communication with a leptin hormone, which is a little complicated for me to explain, but that hormone controls appetite and metabolism.
Right.
And it controls it within your hypothalamus, which is that little part in your brain that tells you when you're hungry or not. So that interference with leptin functions leads to weight gain and obesity also. And yet, according to the industry, oh, it's just sugar. It's no different effect on you. Well, if it has no different effect, why is diabetes up, obesity among the youth up, obesity among adults up, and we have this increase in illness and disease across the board? And it seems to attach to not only high fructose corn syrup, but other chemicals. So,
well,
you know,
I want to just go back to Dr. Dantini for a moment. He came on the program, and I've got to admit, I was completely shocked by his story, and that was about the high fructose corn syrup in IV bags. And, I don't have any scientific evidence, but his anecdotal evidence went along the lines of, I can't figure out why my patients get sick after surgery. You know, that there was no good reason. And then I discovered high fructose corn syrup in some of the IV bags. I requested that, you know, we do not use those. We only use real sugar. And his anecdotal results were spectacular. You know, all of these mysterious illnesses went away.
Exactly. He found that people were having severe allergies and complete intolerances to the high fructose corn syrup, and it caused additional inflammation after surgery. Well, after surgery, you already have inflammation. You don't need more inflammation. So you added a complication to something that you don't want complications after surgery. Plus the fact the GMO itself has got these genetic problems with carrying herbicides and pesticides, and now I discover that it's carrying a fungicide in it that they've altered the genes with. So they go into the center of the actual heredity of that plant and change the heredity of that plant down to its genes and make a whole new plant that's strictly synthetic. So, and they've added 8 new synthetic things to that plant.
Well, you know, Ashley, you brought up a good point. I thought what we would do is follow the high fructose corn syrup all the way to the Pepsi and Coke. But let's start where it begins, with the genetic modification of seeds, which comes primarily from Monsanto, as well as Pioneer Hybrid, which is owned by, you know, Dow Chemical, our favorite manufacturers, excuse me, DuPont, which are our favorite manufacturers of napalm in Vietnam, have just switched to another type of chemical.
Well, I love the smell of napalm in the morning.
I do, too, but I wish it were on Monsanto's corporate offices. Monsanto genetically modified corn is a frankenfood created by the use of a toxin called Bacillus thuringiensis, known as BT. It's capital B, small t. The corn's gene is split with the BT virus to kill insects. Ashley, I wish you, if you take a moment, could talk to us about SmartStack, which has become a new form of genetically modified corn that has 8 different items in it. So can you expand on that a little bit?
What they have done is there were already problems with the genetic material that they were using with just one GMO, with one gene change, that these are untested, and they 8 genes are specific for making sure their herbicides, their pesticides, their fungicide for above ground killing the worms and the bugs, and the below ground killing of worms and bugs. They have, I'm going to see if I can read through this list, Manny. It was included Dow's
I don't think it helps.
Okay, but it just, you know, Roundup Ready and Liberty Link already had problems with their side effects. And then they've added on to this. When France did studies and they took and examined it separately from what Monsanto was showing, they proceeded to say, absolutely, this is toxic, which is why Europe will not allow our maize or our corn to be planted in countless countries within Europe, even though apparently Monsanto and Dow are over there bullying like crazy to try to get their way through. In Brazil, they found that by planting some of these GMO crops, they were having several things happen with just the soy. Soy, also GMO, was killing, they had sudden death with the soy, and they also had a new blight that was happening with these black bugs. So the Brazilians were saying, we're having new bugs, we're having new weeds, we're having new problems, and they're actually starting to ban GMO in Brazil. And various countries are banning the GMO because it's so highly toxic. But an 8-gene stack, they've completely changed. Can you imagine that? 8 of them. They've completely changed the protein and the enzymes within those plants to have synthetic genes within those plants strictly for their greed of selling their products.
Well, one of the
I might be wrong here. Aren't they arguing that they're only fiddling with DNA that doesn't involve life?
Yeah, right. It's within the plasmid itself. That one, oh my gosh, that totally cracks me up. The plasmid is the center of your cell that actually carries the inheritance of whatever it is, whether it's the inheritance of all the genes of the tomato, of the cat or the dog or the cow. And it's where plasmid is where they went to create Dolly, the cow. So they're saying within that plasmid, they're saying that part of it is there's no DNA coding, so we can use that part to change everything. Well, no, you can't go in there and just take part of a seed and say, we're going to use that, and therefore it contains no life, and therefore we can create. As they say in part of their glossary, they create evolution, and they are creating evolution right now.
Yes, that is one of the frightening parts. You know, and what is their purpose? The purpose is to grow more crops. They claim it is to feed the world, but that's not really what it's about. What it's really about is they're trying to control the world. Basically, their position is that, you know, if they can control the seas, they can control everything that goes out, everybody has to buy from. It's basically cornering a market, and that's the worst part about it. And to make things worse, our government, the FDA and the USDA, are complicit in it. For one thing, they own patents with both Monsanto and DuPont's Pioneer Hybrid. So our government is a partner in some of these genetically modified foods, and you wonder why the USDA and the FDA don't protect Americans. It's because they have no interest in Americans. And how bad is it? Let me tell you this story. If a farmer will plant 80% or I think it's 75% of his crop with genetically modified SmartStax, this 8-bacteria-style GMO corn, they're eligible for a premium rate deduction as long as they use Monsanto's hybrids for the USDA Federal Crop Insurance Corporation. Also, the government, along with them, agreed to guarantee loans and make loans available to farmers who basically plant 80% of their crop with Monsanto GMO corn. So what are you going to do with farmers? You're going to bribe them. They bribe them with low insurance. They bribe them with low-cost loans to plant their seeds. And to me, the government is completely complicit in it. So when people say to me, why doesn't the FDA and the USDA protect us? There's your answer. They're in partnership with Monsanto. How much so? Well, they just took Monsanto's lawyer and made him an assistant in charge of food in the FDA, and they've just tried to appoint a number of former Monsanto scientists to key positions in the FDA and USDA. It's so bad that 100 scientists and researchers across the nation protested the appointment of Monsanto employees to these key posts where they would make decisions about what Monsanto would get. And it's easy to check on the website. Just look, Obama appointments, Monsanto, FDA, USDA, and you'll come up with this incredible list of people who are in some way run departments for Monsanto who are now going to move to the FDA for 2 or 3 years. And when their assignments are done, which is to rape and pillage America, they'll go back to Monsanto at double the pay. And that's part of what you were railing about, right, Simon, with this whole USDA not protecting us?
Absolutely. I mean, I was always under the impression that, you know, these organizations, the FDA, the USDA, they have every American's best interests at heart. You know, we hear recalls about strange things. You know, don't eat this. You know, a recall has been issued by the USDA. But no, their interests are not in protecting the American public. Their interests are financial, and they are in support of people like Monsanto. And the other big food production companies. I mean, it sickens me.
Well, yeah, you know, even the USDA and the FDA have allowed Monsanto to look forward to adding even more genes to the corn. Now they want to add genes that stop drought resistant. We increase yields and a more efficient use of nitrogen, which we know is an important plant ingredient.
Well, which is a terrible impact on human beings, your health. And that's nitrogen, throwing extra nitrogen into your body. I mean, this is just ridiculous. I mean, one of the things that bothered me, too, is that gene that they entered without telling anybody about, and I have no idea how long this has been in it. You know how, Simon, when your food's going to grow fungus? Got to grow fungus. Well, one of the things that happens with the fields pre and post when they're harvesting is if the corn gets moist or the barley or the wheat get moist, they're going to grow fungus. So there's a certain percentage of fungus that you're allowed by the FDA approval. Well, the FDA, the people went in, these big corporations went in, and they lowered the number that was safe. Not only did they lower the number that is safe, now the importance of this fungus is that it causes cancer, and one of the things that this particular mycotoxin causes within corn is esophageal cancer. So they lower the number to make this fungus safe, and then they go and they add this gene that also alters within the corn. So you're taking in a gene that's going to alter the future of fungus. Now, who knows what's going to happen inside your body? Because with everything else, there is no testing that is being done on human beings.
Well, let's get to that. You know, they don't have to test the seeds because basically, for example, in Canada, they said they're relying on Monsanto and Dow's AgroSciences division to flag any safety concerns. But first of all, Monsanto's never tested their seeds, so they don't know whether it's a problem. And the other one is, this is the world's biggest fox in the smallest hen house. It's almost like saying, you know, we're going to rely on serial killers to tell us who their victims are and whether they're killing people. It's just insane. I can't imagine another industry where you would trust people to turn themselves in. They're not going to turn themselves in. And this is one of my complaints with the Tea Party and others who want to destroy the EPA and all these government agencies because they interfere with business. In fact, one of the reasons our budget was delayed is because the Tea Party wanted to wipe out the EPA and stop them from, among other things, cleaning up the pollution in the Chesapeake and the Potomac. And if you've read any articles, the mercury levels are so high in the Chesapeake and the Potomac, the fish now are becoming inedible. So why would you want to do that? So if you're going to let Monsanto govern itself, you're never going to have a safety problem because they'll never admit to a safety problem. And that gets back to where you are, Simon. As a normal consumer, you believe these people are really going to protect themselves, right?
Well, unfortunately, now I do not have that view. And by the way, you mentioned serial killer. Would that be Post or Kellogg?
You know, it's really sad.
Well, you make that joke because if you look at your children's cereal, it's full of a high fructose corn syrup. And we were going to walk down the road of diet drinks, but this sugar is sugar not only applies to soft drinks, but your children's food every day, from frozen foods to breakfast foods to cereals, is chock full of high fructose corn syrup. In fact, I challenge our listeners to pick any aisle, packaged aisle in the market, and walk down it and find a canned or packaged product that does not have high fructose corn syrup. If you can find one, please send Simon an email and tell him what that brand name is, because we have trouble finding them.
There's something new happening on the label, though, Manny. And the new thing that's happening on the label since the high fructose corn syrup has been attacked that I'm now seeing is I'll see multiple different things of sugar on the list. And they're no longer saying this is GMO beet. Well, they never said GMO. This is from beets or from cane. They are no longer saying on some of the labels, which make me shy away completely. Of course, I don't buy anything that's not organic. So.
Yeah. And I'm going to make it the last thing on farming, and because we wanted to move on to another issue, is one of the things that Monsanto's been able to push through with this new Smart Stacks, 8 toxins in one seed. It sounds like some kind of a sale. Get your new seeds with 8 different toxins with Roundup, everything stuffed in it, and you don't have to buy other stuff. Well, you know, we've all seen those products. How about that wonderful theory of combining drugs into one pill that have nearly killed a lot of Americans? So what happened is, along with SmartStack, they got the FDA to agree they could reduce the total acreage surrounding GMO products. They have to provide 20% buffer zone between natural forests, other products, and the GMO crops. Well, they're called refuges. Well, under this, it would be cut to 5%. So they're trying to motivate farmers to plant more of this because they don't have to leave 20% of their property safe to protect anything. They can cut it to 5%, which gives them greater use of the land. So that's another manipulation by Monsanto with the U.S. government to allow this to happen. And it's just terrible. But that's only part of it. The seed is now planted, and it's time to water and make the seed grow. So Ashley, talk to us a little bit about farm water and fertilizer that goes on the crops.
Okay.
Wait,
all right.
You you know, I think Ashley has forgotten about factory farmed fertilizer straight from
Water contamination really is a huge problem because the factory farms, which cause the contamination, is estimated at CAFO, which there is roughly 20,000 CAFOs across the country. They generate about 1.4 billion tons of animal waste each year. And this volume of waste then goes into, causes 70% of the pollution in the country's rivers, and it goes into creating new pathogens. There's 300 new pathogens that are being created by the use of these water. Now, it's important because this water will become the irrigation source, and the manure lagoons will also be part of the fertilization that goes into the actual plant itself, which is your high fructose corn syrup. So, let's see.
Let me add some stats to it real quickly. There was an August 19, 2009 U.S. Geological Survey of nearly 300 streams across the U.S. It disclosed that no fish could escape the mercury pollution from these farms. And they collected more than 1,000 fish, bass, trout, catfish, etc. And mercury contamination was found in every single fish. And this is all the way across our nation. So basically, they're also polluting all of our streams. My favorite is, of course, we've interviewed people from Jefferson County, and Ashley pointed out how they took all this manure from the lagoons, and they had no place to put it, so they spread it on the snow. Well, they also spread it on the crops. So here you have this genetically modified seed containing all of these bacteria, you know, eight different ones, and then they spread this terrible manure from factory-farmed animals who are being fed antibiotics, you know, growth hormones, the genetically modified corn that we're talking about growing. So it's a sort of this death circle from the cow to the manure, back to the farm, to the seed, to their contaminated water. And then when they're all done, they pick this corn, and where does it go? 30% or so goes to ethanol, and the bulk of it goes, 30 or 40% goes to high fructose corn syrup, and the rest of it's fed to these poor animals. So now this genetically modified corn with eight different bacteria in it, you know, polluted water, polluted manure, goes into a big vat with more of this water that's polluted, and they cook it up with all those ingredients that I described earlier to make what? High fructose corn syrup. It sounds like a product from the Death Star. I mean, this is terrible.
As soon as this program wraps up, I'm going to be heading out to my supermarket and get me a gallon of high fructose corn syrup. I mean, it obviously has lots of uses in the kitchen.
Sugar.
And the worst of which is for those families who try to get rid of gas and their children by putting a little Karo syrup in water, which was popular in my generation for my children, to warm it up and let them do that. They're basically, it's high fructose corn syrup. So here you got with an infant child with a little gas, and they're going to give him high fructose corn syrup with warm water to get rid of his gas. I mean, that's just a horrible thing to do to a child.
Well, it throws the entire immune system off.
Right, and that's the beginning of the obesity problems with children. And then they compound it by starting to give them McDonald's and other products at an early age, or feeding them Fruit Loops, you know, which are terrible, should be called Fruit Poops. And basically the child is consuming nothing but some variety of corn. I think it's Sanjay Gupta of CNN describes this as corn chips walking. Well, this is why, ladies and gentlemen, because if you look at all the products you buy and eat, 99% of them contain some form of corn, and it's all genetically modified. So, Simon, have you looked at high fructose corn syrup in the stores, in packages?
Yeah, I have searched every aisle. And you know what? I just can't find it. But it's in every product. Yeah, if it's such a great thing, you know, why shouldn't the consumer be allowed to buy it?
Yeah. Well, you saw in King Corn, you can't even eat it. You know, the I recall them at the end of growing, and they pulled a couple of pieces of corn off proudly and took a bite out of them, thinking, "Oh, sweet corn," and they had to spit it out because it tasted so awful.
Oh, it was great, and I don't usually spoil, you know, pictures for people that haven't seen them. But the very end of King Corn is just magical. These two young filmmakers buy themselves the acre of land that they had grown the corn on, and they plant grass. And the deal is, this is our land. It will never, ever be sullied with GMO corn again.
Yeah, I agree with it, too. But the other interesting part of King Corn, which has shown up in a lot of different surveys, is the amount of mercury and high fructose corn syrup found in other brands. Simple things like, look at a Hershey's candy bar. Look at the amount of, it's basically a small amount of chocolate, sugar, and high fructose corn syrup. And they also found traces of mercury, which are part of this whole high fructose corn syrup problem. That's one of the reasons I think Hunt's ketchup changed, was to get rid of the mercury content.
And in 2005, the study from the lead author, Renee Default, who was an FDA researcher, she was actually the whistleblower on the fact that there were 9 out of 20 samples of food products had high fructose corn syrup had found mercury in it. That's 45% of everything she tested had mercury in it. And of course, in 2008, she was retired.
Well, let's talk about who they are: Quaker Foods, Hershey's, Smucker's, Kraft, Nutri-Grain, and Yoplait. These are among the major brands that are on that list that all have mercury and too much and the bacteria from high fructose corn syrup.
Wishbone salad dressing.
Yeah.
Minimade berries, chocolate drinks. I mean, just things that we eat every day. Barbecue sauce. You know, let's go have a barbecue with our mercury.
Mm-hmm. And again, the American Chemical Society in 2007 basically said that soft drinks containing high fructose corn syrup are the major link to the development of diabetes, especially in children. That's incredible. So we're feeding basically a product that's manufactured that causes diabetes for children, and the industry has the gall to run ads trying to tell people that sugar is sugar and it's the same sugar. It's just a big lie.
So you have high fructose corn syrup that disrupts the immune system, which we talked about with Dantini and the IVs and intolerances. And then you also have the mercury coming in and disrupting the immune system. So you have total disruption within the body.
Right. And let's talk about New York City again, Simon. You saw the stats on New York City. There was a study that showed they consume more than 139 million gallons of soda per year, equal to 20,000 acres of genetically modified corn. It's basically liquid candy. So when you take a look at that and you take a look at New York and the high incidence of diabetes in New York, one out of every 8 New Yorkers have diabetes. Mayor Bloomberg wanted to call for a ban on high fructose corn syrup in the city and a ban on non regular sodas to try and stop it because it's costing the city so much money in medical treatment. So for those people who are against Obamacare and for those people who are against the money being spent on medicine and through Medicare and through the other things, you want to cut medicine costs 25% in our country, get rid of high fructose corn syrup. And if you get rid of MSG, also you could probably drop 50% of our health problems and cut down the spending on medicine that much. That's how radically it affects our country. So here we are with a company forcing this stuff down our throat who, you know, basically is raising the medical costs of our country, shortening lifespans, because every time we see an expert say, oh, people are living longer, right. Our parents' generation, the World War II generation, the world's, the what, what Brokaw called our greatest generation, are lived a long time because they ate organic food. This generation, growing up on McDonald's and all these other fast foods, they're gonna drop down and start dying by 50 to 60, and that's something that doesn't show up in these stats. So I think that's a major concern everybody has about high fructose corn syrup. It will shorten the lifespan of Americans.
I don't think it's just high fructose corn syrup, though. I mean,
I
think you have
MSG.
To look at you have to look at the a lot of the other additives that are in common use, MSG.
Yeah, maltodextrin, all of them.
I think one of the biggest problems is that relates to it. Not only taking the cycle of what you did, Manny, with the river and the water and the supply and everything, it's getting back to the actual pesticides themselves. The toxins from the pesticides will linger in the body. And with the GMO, they start off saying, well, we're using less pesticides. Therefore, we can add all these extra genes. No one will notice it in plasma because it's not life. So instead, they compounded with millions and millions of more tons of more pesticides and herbicides every year because the plants become more resistant and the bugs become, they're having super weeds and they're having more problems. So let's talk about the toxins. Pesticides have a lingering effect in the human body. They will ultimately accumulate in the liver. Each person is going to react differently, but by the level of exposure of the chemical, but the chemicals will impact the immune system. When you impact the immune system, you are going to have each person's genetics may be different, and that immune system may result in a different illness within that person, but you're going to have different effects within their organs. They're either going to be a liver disease or a kidney disease or a pancreatic or a heart disease, and that the pesticides and the toxins that are going into that food source is a really ultimately going to cause a person to have a disease.
Well,
short-term,
right,
let me finish with the short-term. Short-term health manifestation exposures can from pesticides. If you eat and you become fatigued, you have a headache, you find yourself with skin irritations, nausea, vomiting, respiratory problems, you're going to find that you will actually have a reaction to the food you're eating as a result of either it being GMO, which contain the pesticide within the DNA of that particular thing that you're eating, or it's going to be the excessive amount sprayed onto that. So you're still eating pesticides, and those are going to be symptoms that you will have. The long-term responsibility will be brain and blood disorders, liver, kidney, reproductive damage, breast cancer, gestational diabetes. Diabetes absolutely will be caused by these pesticides, and a greater risk for Parkinson's because they cause neurological damage. Now, this is all part of the GMO pesticide and, of course, high fructose corn syrup because you're adding more chemicals, which have been untested, on top of cooking these into these genetically engineered changed plants.
Well, I mean, I don't know how much more you can say. It blows me away every time I read or hear it. But let's put it in practical terms. Let's take Ocean Spray cranberry. When you look at it and you read the can and you go through analysis, a 16-ounce can of Ocean Spray could contain up to 8 ounces, 224 grams of high fructose corn syrup. It's a huge amount. The recipe for making natural cranberry sauce is 98% cranberries and raspberries and 2% organic sugar. But no, they cheat and they use high fructose corn syrup. One of my favorites on the list is Cantadina Italian paste. We all know it's a top-selling tomato paste. Almost everybody uses it in some form to make spaghetti. But the contents are basically high fructose corn syrup, partially hydrogenated vegetable oil, which comes from genetically modified soybean and cottonseed, hydrolyzed corn gluten, which again is genetically modified corn with MSG, genetically modified soy, and wheat gluten proteins. Well, that's great. That's another GMO product. And then it's got a little grated Romano cheese made from cow's milk, cultured milk, which we know comes from cows that are fed genetically antibiotics and RBGH, which is bovine growth hormone, yeast, which is a place to hide MSG, and soy flour, which is genetically modified. I mean, what are they doing? Why would, I mean, if you want to make tomato paste, you can reduce pure tomatoes and make tomato paste yourself without adding all these chemicals.
Plus, we just went through the list of what these pesticides with fentanyl do to people.
Yeah. So you pick a product and you look at any old style like your grandmother's recipe, I guarantee your grandmother was not throwing genetically modified corn and all these weird syrups and yeasts and all the other stuff, the hydrogenated vegetable oil. My grandmother wouldn't know what that was.
Or hydrogenated anything is MSG.
Corn, gluten, soy. I mean, I'm sure my grandmother would go, soy? I don't put that crap in my tomato paste. And I, as a chef, I feel the same way when I cook. You know, we joke that you look at a label, particularly frozen food, and it'll have anywhere from 80 to 150 ingredients, of which half of them have MSG. I don't have 80 to 100 ingredients in my shelf. I don't, except if you take away food ingredients as far as spices and the rest, most people have trouble using 3, 4, 5. And Simon, have you ever cooked anything with 80 ingredients?
Good Lord, no.
You even own 80 ingredients?
I couldn't even name 80.
How about 20? I bet you couldn't name 20.
I love to use herbs and spices. I really do. But, no. Yeah, 3 or 4 is the absolute max for any dish I can name. I mean, I love Indian food, but Indian spices like garam masala, you know, they wouldn't work so well in an omelet, you know.
Oh, but MSG would. And, you know, and for our listeners, if you buy our books, particularly It's Not Your Fault, the latest book on obesity, we have charts, particularly 1 and 3, that list every place that they hide MSG in it, every place they hide high fructose corn syrup. We have charts that give all the foods and fast foods and which ones contain these products. And you can take a look at them. You'll find there's 140 different names that MSG is hidden in. Corn syrup is now high fructose corn syrup, corn solids, corn syrup. And on some labels, they say the product has all three, which is amazing.
And since you're saying sugar is sugar, then I guess sugar could very well be high fructose corn syrup now. Labeling is just so goony. It's hard to figure it out.
Well,
okay. I do want to go back to something that was mentioned very early on in the program, and that is the CRA, Corn Refiners Association, endeavoring to twist the arm of the FDA to let them change the name to corn sugar. Now, that's all well and good, but surely if they change the name to corn sugar, then amount of high fructose corn syrup would appear in the sugar column of the ingredient list. I'm not sure that's really what they want to do.
Oh, that's exactly why they use high fructose corn syrup, is to hide the amount of sugar in it. So if they added that to the sugar list, then they'd have to say there are 80 grams of sugar in a Coke or a Pepsi, and that's what they're trying to avoid. But let's talk about the CRA for a minute, because we published a blog about them, which we've all sort of chuckled about. These aren't farmers. These aren't people who live in America's heartland. Well, you know, we went through the list of people that own them. I mean, these are owned by companies like Archer Daniels Midland, Cargill, Corn Products International, National Starch, Penford Products, Inc., Roquette America. Roquette America, please. That's a French company. Do Americans understand this genetically modified corn, this high fructose corn syrup, is made in part by a French company? Most Americans don't care for France's politics or France at all. How about Tate and Lyle Ingredients America? Gee, the minute they add America, you know they're a world-sized corporation. If you read the blog that we posted, we trace these companies down. Like Penford, it's owned by T. Rowe Price, a stock company. Dimensional Fund Advisors, does that sound like a farmer? Rutabaga Capital Management, that doesn't sound like a farmer. How about Goldman Sachs? So we are basically in this bailout giving money to people who are basically making the genetically modified corn. Oh, that's wonderful, you know. And when you read their websites, they say specifically, I'll give an example. Penford Products says is they are a leading supplier of chemically modified specialty starches. What's that mean?
Corn starch.
Right. So they admit on the website it's chemically modified specialty starch. That's not sugar.
That's not natural. Natural, you know.
And then they go on to say, through a commitment to research and development, we've developed customized product applications that help our clients realize improved manufacturing efficiencies and advancements in product quality. Why don't they just say they cook up chemicals in a vat and sell it to the industry?
You know, Manny, one of the things that I keep thinking, too, and I thought about this strongly when we were working on this, as a kid, companies were so proud. You remember this, Simon? Companies were so proud of their corporations that they would allow people to have tours, or they would show promos where they'd have full-out industry pictures of the inside and interior of all these companies. Has anybody ever seen the inside of one of these high-fructose corn syrup cooked-up lab places?
No, they won't let you see.
Has anybody ever seen how they make the GMOs and stamp them out with a gun? No, they don't. And I think that we should all be allowed, as Americans, especially since we have to pay for it as taxpayers, in addition to not only for the product, not only for the corn that's subsidized through our government. I think we, as Americans, have a right to go in and look at these companies.
If you rent King Corn, they have a brief look at how high fructose corn syrup is made, and they tried to make some themselves. The bottom line is, as we say in the blog, once you get used to calling an ugly old pig an ugly old pig, it's hard to call it pretty without cosmetic surgery. High fructose corn syrup did not have cosmetic surgery. It's still an ugly pig of a chemical. It's the same ugly old pig that's been scientifically proven to cause weight gain, obesity, and food addiction under an assumed name, okay? I mean, as I joke, you know, maybe high fructose corn syrup is going to go on witness protection, be replaced by corn sugar.
And I think that, Simon, that that article that you posted and sent from Hillary Parker about Princeton Research was a pretty mm-hmm. significant one on March 22nd of last year. March 22nd last year, it's how long they've been talking about how lab animals and consumption of high fructose corn syrup lead to abnormal increase in body weight, especially in the abdomen, and a rise in circulating blood fats, triglycerides. So, I mean, it's right what you're saying, Manny. Sugar is not just sugar.
Well, look at Archer Daniels Midland Company, a publicly traded company. It boasts on its website, quote, "At more than 240 processing plants, we convert corn, oilseed, wheat, and cocoa into products for food, animal, chemical, and energy uses." The key word is convert. If a sugar is sugar, you don't need to convert it into high fructose corn syrup. It's not natural. So we're coming to the end of the show, and I guess the point we're trying to make is don't believe everything you see advertised on TV, whether it's about corn syrup or the medicines you take. Look past it. Research it on your own. Read labels. Reach out to others and find out answers to these questions. The difference between asking the questions and getting the answers to the questions is the difference between missing work ill, having an illness or disease, or in my case, being forced to retire because of an illness caused by these chemicals. They damn near kill me, and they nearly killed Ashley and a number of other friends of mine. 40% of Americans are allergic in some form to high fructose corn syrup, MSG, and these chemicals.
It's causing a horrible immune response with people.
Yeah. So before we end the show and wrap it up, I did have one thing I wanted to raise for anyone who deeply cares about film and other things. Sidney Lumet, a brilliant director, died at the age of 86. He's well known for films like Network, Serpico, Dog Day Afternoon, and of course the original of 12 Angry Men with Henry Fonda in the mid-50s. His last film is a film I cherish called Before the Devil Knows You're Dead, about a New York family and the deterioration into crime. And go ahead. He was a brilliant man. Go ahead, Simon. I'm sorry.
No. I was just saying, oh, no. I didn't hear the news.
Yeah, I got it up on... it must have been late last night because it came up on Google and other things. We're losing the last of the brilliant directors, and we're being replaced by people whose only interest are the use of special effects. And I enjoy special effects films, but not when they dominate a movie. Storytelling is becoming a lost art right now in the film industry. But on that note, is there anything you want to add to the show, Ashley?
Just that it's important nutritionally to stop eating the high fructose corn syrup, stop eating the GMO, to absolutely go organic because it's higher. They are a significant increase in vitamin C, iron, magnesium, phosphorus, the nitrates, all the things that are important in that crop are found in the organic, and that's what you're getting. You're getting what God intended the vegetables and fruit to happen and what the animals to eat, and it's really important to go organic.
Yeah, and I think it's important for listeners to understand that the next time they're not feeling well, it may be because of the food. Go ahead, Simon.
Okay, we are down to about the last 3 minutes or so, but there is one little item that I want to bring up, but I'm going to ask you to explain it. What happened in Cyprus?
Oh, yes, we really did miss that topic. This is really interesting. Things have changed around the world. We've talked frequently about how Europeans have a different view and more concerned about their food. Well, yesterday, Cyprus voted into a law, a bill making it compulsory to display genetically modified foods on separate shelves in shops and supermarkets. In other words, you go down the left side of the aisle, there'll be natural foods, you know, organic foods, and the right side will be the genetically modified foods. Well, the GM foods the foods that contain the GM ingredients have to be sold with a prominent sign stating clearly that they're GM foods. The law also provided hefty fines for noncompliance. The backers of the bill also reiterated calls for Cyprus to be made a GMO-free zone. And by the way, this was a unanimous vote because in Europe, the European Union allows each member to freely display foods as it sees fit. They have tough labeling laws in Europe, which we have none here because of the lobbying of the food companies. So hundreds of districts in the EU sections have already declared themselves GMO-free. A previous attempt to pass this separation bill was stopped in its tracks in 2005 after pressure from the Bush administration. Washington strongly urged the House leader unofficially to make sure that GMO bills never got through Parliament, or it would damage Cypriot-U.S. relations. Well, WikiLeaks has disclosed a whole stack of papers that showed the Bush administration tried to intimidate the Spanish government by cutting off loans. They tried to intimidate Ireland by saying they could not get a loan at the World Bank if they banned GMOs. And, of course, they've tried to intimidate France and Germany with it. And that's the problem when your government is in partnership with someone like Monsanto. And the net result is economic. American products are not accepted abroad. We lose $75 billion a year in food exports because they won't accept this garbage made by these companies, genetically modified corn, wheat, soy, etc. It's so bad, as we point out, Mexico will not accept our beef because it's fed genetically modified foods and it's done in factory farms. And as an American, I'm incensed anytime Mexico rejects anything we do in this country. That's how sad the situation is, Simon.
And we are literally in the last seconds. I want to thank both of you, Manny Barling and Ashley F. Brooks, for taking time out today to talk to me. It's been a great program.
Well, thank you, and thank you for having us.
Thank you, Simon, and thank you to the listeners.
And I'm sure we will be back again next week. Mm-hmm. Till then, this is Simon Barrett wishing everyone a happy and safe weekend. Till next time, goodbye.